need to be overthrown as quickly as possible. And it is a scientific fact that we do not have to live this way.
That was Michelle Chai of the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity. She was quoting Bob Avakian at a student rally for Palestine this past week. And I'm joined today by Rafael Cadaris. Welcome, Rafael.
Good to be here, Samsara, and welcome to everyone watching. This show is about an actual revolution, a revolution to overthrow this system of capitalism imperialism, this system that has white supremacy and male supremacy built into it, this system that's destroying the environment and wrecking whole parts of the world from Lebanon to Haiti to Venezuela, forcing tens of millions to flee their homes, desperately trying to survive, this system that's pushing the world closer to world war, even nuclear war.
That's right. And as Michelle quoted from Bob Avakian earlier, it is a scientific fact that we do not have to live this way. On this show, we follow and we promote the leadership of the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian, who has never accepted that this is just the way things are. And he has spent decades developing a way out of this madness. The new communism, a strategy for an actual revolution right in this country, right in this time we're living in now, and a blueprint for a whole new socialist system laid out in this constitution that he wrote, a system that backs people up in overcoming all forms of exploitation, all forms of oppression based on class, race, sex, and gender, a system that enables people to go to work, repairing the environment of our planet. And right now, Bob Avakian is working every day and giving leadership with his at Bob Avakian official social media dispatches to chart the path and overcome all the obstacles standing in the way of the revolution that is urgently needed. As we approach the election, as we'll get into today, this is all the more urgent and important.
Just look at what's going on in the Middle East right now. Israel just bombed Palestinians at a hospital, burning them alive, while some of them were still attached to their IVs. Israel is starving and laying siege to northern Gaza, a genocide within a genocide.
Israel's nine-day military siege of northern Gaza has killed at least 200 Palestinians. Israel is forcing the people living in those areas, some of whom have been displaced multiple times by Israeli bombardments, to flee south. But Palestinians say that there is nowhere safe for them to go.
And continuing to commit massacres all over Gaza and the West Bank. Israel is destroying Lebanon.
Israel's onslaught into Lebanon has already forced over 1.2 million people from their homes, one-fifth of Lebanon's population.
And threatening Iran.
I have a message for the tyrants of Tehran. If you strike us, we will strike you. There is no place in Iran that the long arm of Israel cannot reach. And that's true of the entire Middle East.
The U.S. imperialists are arming, backing, and now sending troops to directly join this genocidal apartheid state in its rampage throughout the Middle East.
In a show of force, the U.S. says it's preparing to deploy a sophisticated anti-missile defense system in Israel, along with 100 troops to operate it. It's the first time American troops will actually operate in Israel since Hamas's terrorist attack on October 7th.
Increasing the possibility of war with Iran and of a world war, even nuclear war, potentially drawing in nuclear-armed imperialist powers of Russia, China, and the U.S. directly, endangering the whole world. Why? Because this system of capitalism imperialism requires ruthless exploitation and murderous oppression. And for the U.S. imperialists to maintain their dominant position in the strategic region of the Middle East and fend off their rivals requires endless wars and ironclad support for its attack dog Israel.
My commitment to Israel, I want to make clear again, is ironclad.
Even if it means the most depraved Nazi-like crimes. Yes, as Bob Avakian provocatively but accurately said, Israel has done something truly incredible. Israel has managed to turn Jews into Nazis. With this in mind, we want to give a big shout out to the 200 people organized by Jewish Voice for Peace, including a RevCom, who were arrested a few days ago in front of the New York Stock Exchange. We need much more of this kind of resistance. The U.S.-backed Israeli genocide in Gaza, its aggression against Lebanon, and its threats to the region must stop. And it's up to those of us living in the U.S. to do everything in our power to stop them. Above all, that means joining with the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity and following at Bob Avakian Official for real-time leadership for the only way out of this nightmare, a real revolution.
On today's show, we're going to do two main things. We are going to hear a substantive excerpt of the interview that we did here on the Revolution Nothing Less show with Bob Avakian, where he speaks directly to those catching the hardest hell under this system about what their role is in making a real revolution. And this dovetails well with what he's currently focused on in his social media about the profound fight for the soul of Black people, a defeated people, or a revolutionary people. And first, we're going to talk about the looming elections, what's at stake, and where the interests of the people really lie. Earlier this year, in his social media dispatch, Revolution Number 8, Bob Avakian made this very important point.
Everything will very likely be coming to a head and coming up for grabs this year, 2024, with the presidential election this year, a sharp focus of the fight between the dominating ruling class parties, Democrats and Republicans. A fight that is very likely to break all out of the bounds of the normal way they exercise power over the people and keep their whole murderous system going. This is not a time to be siding with one group of oppressors or another. This is a rare time, a very rare opening, a chance that may come only once in a lifetime, a chance to take advantage of the deep divisions among the ruling oppressors and go after their whole system with the aim of bringing the whole thing down and putting something much better in its place.
We are now less than 3 weeks out from the scheduled elections, an important focus of this intensifying fight for the future. There are different ways that things could go down. Trump could win outright, securing the majority of the Electoral College votes in accord with the system's rules of the elections. Another possibility is that the election could be too close to call right away, as it was in 2020. In this case, it is almost certain that Trump and his army of MAGA fascists would move quickly to insist that he had won, in fact. Trump and his fascists would very likely cast any attempts to continue counting the votes or to otherwise work to establish who actually won as some kind of fraud, as some kind of effort to steal the election. And it would be shocking if this were not accompanied by threats and violence against election workers, lawyers, judges, and others who were trying to establish who actually won. A third possibility is that Kamala Harris wins not only the popular vote, but also the Electoral College vote. Trump and his MAGA fascists have already made clear that they will view this as illegitimate. Again this week, Trump yet again refused to accept any election he lost.
Will you commit now to respecting and encouraging a peaceful transfer of power?
Well, you had a peaceful transfer of power.
You had a peaceful transfer of power. You had a peaceful... Come on, President Trump. You had a peaceful transfer of power compared with Venezuela. The question, President Trump, is would you respect the decision?
When I found out about this interview, I did a little check. He's a man that has not been a big Trump fan over the years.
In 2020, Trump spearheaded an attempted coup. Since then, he has purged the Republican Party of anyone who opposed this effort or who denies that he won the 2020 elections. MAGA fascists have taken over election boards to be in position to potentially throw out election results they don't like. Outright fascists now dominate the Supreme Court. And millions of MAGA fascists are preparing for civil war if it comes to that. In any of these situations, the fact that the fascists would be moving to tear up the norms of this system and very likely unleashing violence to enforce their horrific dictates, this would give them important dimensions of initiative and advantage over the Democrats. The Democrats are seeking to preserve and to rely on the very norms and institutions that the fascists are out to shatter. Now, of course, these are not the only possibilities that I just laid out. But one thing is very clear. The interests of the masses of people here and all over the world will not be and cannot be expressed through these elections. Donald Trump is a racist, immigrant-persecuting, woman-hating, climate-destroying, anti-scientific lunatic and pathological serial liar. He has promised to turn the instruments of the state, the courts, the Justice Department, the police, the military, into instruments of fascist atrocity and terror, to unleash them against anyone he deems his enemies. But, as Bob Avakian has put it,
as horrific as Trump is, supporting Harris and the Democratic Party means enlisting as willing accomplices in the crusade of U.S. capitalism imperialism to remain the world's number one exploiter, oppressor, and plunderer of people and the environment, even at the cost of risking the future and the very existence of humanity.
Kamala Harris is a mass incarcerator.
To me, you're the law and order candidate. And yet they try to paint you like you're some leftist who I don't know, who wants to have people running through the streets committing crimes. You were a prosecutor.
I have put a lot of people in jail.
And a mass murderer. And she and the Democrats are ramping up the risk of nuclear war spiraling out of the conflicts in the Middle East and in the Ukraine.
I support Israel's ability to defend itself.
All of this holds tremendous dangers, but it also holds real possibility. This underscores the point from Bob Avakian that I began with.
This is not a time to be siding with one group of oppressors or another. This is a rare time, a very rare opening, a chance that may come only once in a lifetime. A chance to take advantage of the deep divisions among the ruling oppressors and go after their whole system with the aim of bringing the whole thing down and putting something much better in its place.
This is what everyone who can't stand this world the way it is, everyone who hates the way that so many people are treated as less than human, everyone who worries and agonizes about the future and wishes for something better, you need to be part of this revolution now. Very concretely, we want to stress two things. First, join in stepping up the campaign to get Bob Avakian's leadership and social media at Bob Avakian Official out in front of millions and millions of people now. People need to know Bob Avakian, the leader who has been hardcore and heart and soul for a real revolution since the 1960s. The leader who has, over these decades, forged a whole new framework for human emancipation. People need to learn about and engage Bob Avakian's real-time leadership to carry this revolution forward now. Leadership he is providing every week at Bob Avakian Official. BA is breaking down how to understand big events in the world, where the interests of the people lie. BA is cutting through the bullshit ways of thinking that keep people chained to this system and going along with its crimes. BA is bringing alive the possibility of rising up to get to a whole better world for real. This is why we are fighting to raise big funds, why you need to be part of donating and working with us to raise even more funds so that we can project Bob Avakian's social media dispatches to millions. This way, as reality comes crashing in on people's illusions and delusions, their hopes that they can just hunker down and get through this election and get back to normal, their desperate projecting onto Kamala Harris, someone who will stand up and fight for them, which is never going to be the case, even the perverse sense among some oppressed people that Trump will somehow bring some kind of shakeup that will be good for them. As reality increasingly comes crashing in on these and other illusions, people need to see the real alternative. Bob Avakian and the RevComs he leads. This is what concentrates this alternative. The second thing that everybody who wants to seize on this coming crisis to wrench out advances for a real revolution needs to do is to work with, join, and actively recruit others into the RevCom Corps for the emancipation of humanity. This new piece from the RevCom Corps, how we are preparing people and organizing now for a real revolution for the emancipation of humanity, is available at revcom.us. It breaks down how to recruit and how to carry out the strategy for revolution. The RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity is spreading revolution and Bob Avakian's leadership every day. We are studying Bob Avakian, getting trained in the strategy, the vision, the scientific method, and the liberating morality of this revolution so we can carry it forward. We are letting people know that there is a whole better way we could be living if we make a real revolution. We're doing this in part by getting out this broadsheet. We need and we demand a whole new way to live and a fundamentally different system, getting it out hand to hand on the street to thousands and getting it up on walls so people see about what is possible with a real revolution, how we could bring about a whole new society with a whole new dimension of freedom and rights for the people, with an economy that's oriented to meeting people's needs and serving their highest interests, a society that is moving to eliminate discrimination, inequality, and oppression in every form, healthcare and education that actually serve the people, and moving here and around the world to abolish war and nuclear weapons, and to address the environmental crisis, all of this and more. People need to know that there is a different way we could be living. By getting this out, we are letting people know that their real choice is not between Trump and Harris, but between the system of capitalism and imperialism that both of them represent, and a real revolution and a whole better way to live. And in any of the situations where the fascists are moving to consolidate their fascist rule or to steal the election, the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity needs to be working so that, as Bob Avakian emphasized in his social media dispatch number 65,
the forces for revolution would need to come to the fore in the fight against the fascists and do so not with the aim of preserving or restoring the democratic form of this murderously oppressive system of capitalism imperialism, but with the strategic goal of bringing down this whole system and bringing something much better into being.
The coming days will be intense. Now is the time to step up our efforts and draw many more people into these efforts to plant a powerful pole for a truly emancipating revolution and to make big advances in making this real.
You are listening to The Michael Slate Show. We're going to take a short musical break and be right back.
Before moving on to our final segment, we want to touch on two things quickly. First, 60 years ago, in the fall of 1964, the free speech movement shook UC Berkeley and impacted the broader society. This movement is remembered for a speech by its leader, Mario Savio, who famously said,
"There's a time when when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Bob Avakian was part of this movement, including the mass arrest of 800 people on Sproul Plaza. And recently, the Bob Avakian Institute republished an essay by Bob Avakian titled Reflections on the Free Speech Movement. In his new intro, he says, "In the nearly 30 years since I made this statement, I have continued the work that has led to the development of the new communism as a whole new framework for human emancipation. This statement, FSM Reflections, in November 1996, contains essential elements of the new communism. As made clear in those reflections, the communism I am talking about and working assiduously to bring about is one that encompasses and is enriched by the process of discovery of people newly awakening to political life and newly involving themselves in the struggle to change the world, challenging convention and conventional wisdom. It is a communism that as a movement and as the future society, not only makes room for, but gives the fullest expression to the kind of idealism that was a defining quality of the free speech movement, as given voice so eloquently in that speech by Mario Savio. This is given expression in a comprehensive and concrete way in the Constitution for the New Socialist Republic in North America, which I have authored. And, as BA emphasized in social media dispatch number 80,
in the midst of these heavy times, it is important that the basic principles that characterize the FSM be actively popularized, struggled for, and applied. The bedrock stand of refusing to go along with injustice and putting yourself on the line to oppose it, without being derailed by the hypocritical maneuvers or shrinking in the face of the repressive measures of those wielding unjust power. The largeness of mind and generosity of spirit that leads to uniting all who can be united in the fight against injustice, with the orientation of valuing and encouraging critical thinking, with open-minded debate over the road forward and the biggest questions related to changing the world.
So we want to urge you to go to revcom.us to download and read this pamphlet and to share it with others.
Once again, let me remind you that you are listening to The Michael Slate Show.
These days about where are black people going to line up in the upcoming elections? Will black people go for Trump, that racist, woman-hating fascist? Or will black people fall in line behind Kamala Harris, even though she is a mass incarcerator and mass murderer? But Bob Avakian cuts through this bullshit, and he shows that is not the real question. The real question is, will black people be a defeated people, going for and going along with this system in any form? Or will black people be a revolutionary people, fighting to get rid of this system in the only way it can be done, by taking up and joining and making a revolution aimed at the emancipation of all of humanity? Bob Avakian goes deeply into this in his social media dispatches number 91 through 94, a profound fight for the soul of Black people, a defeated people or a revolutionary people. And this is urgent and has tremendous stakes, not just for Black people, but for the future of this society and the world. So we want to urge you to dig into these dispatches from Baba Vakin at Baba Vakin Official. Spread them. Donate to get them out to many more people. And we want to share a quick announcement about a program coming up soon in Chicago to dig into these dispatches together. After that announcement, we'll go directly into an excerpt, which is our final segment in today's show, from Bob Avakian in the interview that we did with him here on this show, where he speaks directly to those who are catching the hardest hell under this system, Black people and others. Through this, you get a sense of who this leader is, his heart for the masses of humanity, and the revolutionary hardcore leadership he is providing so we can get out of this hell. Let's watch.
A profound fight for the soul of Black people, a defeated people, or a revolutionary people.
Join the discussion of this social media dispatch from the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian with members of the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity here in Chicago on Sunday, October 20th at 3 p.m., 1857 East 71st Street.
Well, you've led us right back to something we wanted to return to before wrapping up this interview, which is the tremendous potential that it's clear you see in those at the very bottom of society. Youth in particular, at the base of society, caught up catching the worst hell, the youth and others in the prisons, which you said the brother on the block or on the street, people who right now their guns are pointed at each other to way too large a degree. All of the vision of what you've described of what's possible to do with state power is not going to happen if we don't make a revolution. And yet this is a section of people who are very critical to the revolution we need. So I wanted to give you, and we wanted to give you one further opportunity to speak directly to those who are catching the worst hell and treated as the worst of the worst. What is their role in this revolution? And to those going out to them, how should we do this?
Well, I say there's both a personal dimension to this and a larger scientific dimension to it. I know that things have gone on for generations now. I mean, I know some people told us, well, you can't bring forward these youth. They might have been revolutionary once back in the day of the Black Panther Party or what, the 1960s. But there's been generation after generation caught up in this bad now, so there's no potential anymore. Yes, there is potential. And in one sense, it's exactly because they have been caught up in it generation after generation that there is potential. But you're not going to see it if you're just looking on the surface and what people are into. You have to go a little deeper with people. And I'll just introduce a personal dimension to this, which is very real for me. When I see, you know, and whenever I get a chance to interact, and I do sometimes with some of these youth you're talking about, I see people that I knew when I was coming up. Not that I was came out of the same place they did, but people that I knew, you know, and I know what their potential was. You know, I've talked about this before, I've written about it before. You know, I had a friend, Billy, who was got into the life and got killed, you know, while he's still in his 20s, caught up in a lot of bad and did bad, but also had a whole other side to him, had a curious mind, a sharp mind, you know, had a lot of very good, you know, sentiments toward people, ways of relating to people. And, you know, you could not have told me that somebody like that couldn't be transformed to become a revolutionary because I knew better. And that's just a personal, and I knew other people in the same situation. I'm very fortunate to know people in this situation, you know. People who opened their hearts to me the same way I did with them, you know, that's what it means to be friends. And you learn what's deeper beneath the surface of what's going on and why people are into the bad they're in. And, you know, how constricted, how limited and confined their lives are and their choices are, you know, in terms of how things are presented to them. And so that's like, on the basis of that personal experience, I don't care that generations, I mean, I care, But it doesn't tell me, because generations have gone on, that these aren't basically the same people. They are the same people, you know, and when I interact with them, whenever I get a chance, and it's far too rare, but it's very precious, I know they're the same people. So that's on, like, on the personal level, from personal experience. But more scientifically, you can analyze, where do the actual interests of these youth lie? You know, look, I've spoken this before. Look what it means when, even for a brief time, people in this situation rise above this. And I mentioned this prisoner strike in Alabama, and people are talking about how they've overcome the divisions of gangs and cliques and this kind of thing. You know, it's not going to last because of the conditions they're in, but it's very significant and precious when it happens. Or, you know, I've made this point about the truce that followed, you know, the gang truces that followed the 1992, you know, L.A. rebellion, which really wasn't just L.A. rebellion. It spread around the country. And, you know, how hard people tried to overcome generations of divisions and back and forth revenge. You know, I mean, to me, one of the most inspiring and moving things I've seen in decades was the picture after the L.A. rebellion. You know, besides, you know, blacks and Mexicans tonight, together tonight with graffiti, you know, there is a picture of a Blood and a Crip with their arms around each other. And that wasn't just for show. That was something real and something deep. And they tried, they really tried to overcome this, and they put forward a program, but their program was just a program that had no basis. And it was also just actually mirroring this existing system. It was a program to establish more black businesses to enable some of these people caught up in the gangs to get into, you know, the economy by way of business and so on. And there's no material, there's no economic basis for that on a broad scale. And it wouldn't lead to the liberation of people either, because, you know, a few people might get into business, but then, you know, most people can't. And plus, the ones who do are going to be employing other people and exploiting them, whether they mean to or not. You know, but still, look how hard people tried. And there was a prisoner, you know, strike in California a number of years ago. The same kind of thing. Yeah, the gangs are still in there, and yeah, there's bad shit, but they rose up and overcame that for a short period of time. And that shows the potential, and it also shows that there's something deeper in people than what they're doing every day and what they're caught up in. That they you know, reach for something better, something higher. They want something different, you know. And if you get people away from what they're caught up in, and talk to them heart to heart, they will tell you, in many cases, most people want something different, even if they're caught up in this and they don't know how to get out of it. And that's where we come in, the revolutionaries, the people who have come to understand that there's a whole different way. We have to go to these youth and others. Yes, we need to go to the educated youth. You're not going to make a revolution without people from the educated youth. That's very important for the revolution, including critical and creatively thinking people who have a capacity to, you know, work and grapple with complicated ideas. We need that. But your question is very much to the point about, you know, these more, you know, youth down on the street, you know, the hardcore youth, you know. There is burning within them, because nobody wants to live the way these youth are being forced to live. You could take all of, maybe a few, you know, really into it, you know, and this is really their thing, but nobody, if you're talking about, I shouldn't say nobody, but overwhelmingly, people don't want to live the way people we're talking about are forced to live. But this system, we could go into why and how. You know, it deindustrialized a lot, you know, all these areas that people live in, you know, like the south side of Chicago used to be these factories and gigantic steel plant, U.S. Steel, that people used to work at. Gary, Indiana, which is now a ghost town, had the biggest steel plant in the entire world, I think, going back a few decades. And a lot of black people work there. Those places are closed down. These youth coming up, they have no future. And that's because of the workings of this system. And there is a burning down there. It may be simmering. It may be just a flickering flame, but there is a burning for something better. And it is up to us
to provide the vehicle and the means for all these masses of people in this situation, including these youth, to become part of fighting for something better. And yes, it goes back to the previous thing. We're not going to do it without a lot of struggle. You got to break through the surface. You got to break through the bullshit. You got to break through even the hardcore shit to get down to where people really live and feel. And then you got to struggle with them about what your life should really be all about. What is really worth dedicating your, and if necessary, even giving your life to? Not that we take that lightly. We certainly don't. You know, we understand that, you know, as Mao said, of all things in the world, people are most precious. And people's lives are precious to us. But even if you have to give your life, give it for something worthwhile, something that's going to mean something for you and people like you all over the world and for the little ones. And don't tell me you don't love the little ones. I see you out there pushing the little ones around. I see the pride that you have in the little ones. So don't tell me you don't care, because I know different and I know better. And there is a way, but we got to give people the way. And that means a tremendous amount of struggle. It's not just handing them away and they're going to take it. It's a tremendous amount of struggle. You know, and we have to also, especially in this rare time when revolution becomes more possible, we have to get right down on the ground with them and explain in terms they can understand, and then get in more into the complexities as we go along. But get to the basic thing that there is a way out of all this. And right now we have more opportunity than we've had in your lifetime or my lifetime to do this. And we can't afford to be wasting this time and this opportunity in bullshit. We got to get with this revolution so we can get all this shit off of our backs and make a future for the next little kids you're pushing along that's worth living for, so they don't have to go through what you are going through now, which isn't what you wanted to go through, but it's what the system has put you in the place of to have to go through. We have to go and present this to them in a living way. There is a way out of this. It's not an easy way. It's not a guaranteed way, but it's a real way. It's a real possibility, especially in this time when we're talking about where the conditions are more favorable for revolution, even as they're tending right now towards something terrible, with the ruling class divided and fighting each other, with society being ripped apart, with the potential for this to rip apart all the dominant institutions in society. You know, one of these youths said, well, you know, if I get with your revolution, my chances of being taken out are just about 100%. But if I do what I'm doing, going up against people like me, maybe my chances are 50-50. Well, that's just wrong, like I've said before. You know, it's wrong in terms of what your life should be about, and it's wrong in terms of, you know, the possibilities for revolution. Because we have a real strategy, and we have a real, you know, method to grapple with the problems that lie on the road to revolution and actually break through and gather more and more forces to where a revolutionary struggle for power could actually have a chance to win. And you can't ask for more than that. You can't ask for more than a chance to win to get this whole f***ing thing off your back. And this is what we're aiming for, and this is what we got to take to people and explain to them and struggle like hell with them about what speaks to their deeper feelings and hopes and aspirations, not just the shit they're caught up in on the surface. So I say, both from personal experience, which is limited, I know, but it tells me something, but also by scientific analysis and by learning from all different kinds of sources and getting every bit of knowledge I can, that there is a potential there. And we have to go and make that potential become a reality and make the struggle with people to become emancipators of humanity. And we start winning some, it's going to provide the basis to win more. And it's going to become a pole of attraction. And what people would really like to jump to will start getting expressed when they see a growing force out there that's real. And so this is my answer. We got to, you know, we have what these youth and the mass of people need, but it includes a lot of struggle with them, and we have to go and take that to them and wage that struggle, because this is for ending all the shit that they're being forced to go through, and all the shit that humanity is being put through and that they're threatened with now, with the destruction of the environment and this danger of nuclear war among these imperialists, we have to go to the people and give them the means to do what deep down they would love to do if they could understand scientifically that there's a basis for it. So that's what I would say.
We've got some time left, so I'd like to play this.
Black people, powerful revolutionary potential in opposition to putrid, degrading politics and culture. This is Bob Avakian, Revolution number 93. In previous messages, I spoke to this important reality. The revolutionary potential of black people was powerfully demonstrated in the 1960s. But there have been big changes since the 1960s in the situation of black people within this country and in the country and the world overall. The revolutionary forces and revolutionary sentiments among masses of youth, especially in the 1960s, were suppressed by the ruling class of this country through a combination of vicious repression and making concessions to sections of people in the context of what was happening in the larger world, including, very importantly, the end of the Vietnam War and the overthrow of socialism and establishment of capitalism in China in the 1970s. In my previous message, I talked about the very positive role of the Vietnamese people's victorious war of liberation against U.S. imperialism, and of China as a revolutionary socialist country in the 1960s and early 1970s. Among black people, relentless persecution, including murder, trumped-up charges, and jailing of leaders and members of the Black Panther Party in particular, was combined with appeals to reform in place of revolution. And, as I also spoke to in my last message, the promotion of measures that led to the growth of the black middle class and the black bourgeoisie, at the same time as large numbers of black people were driven further into poverty and desperation. The vicious repression against black people has never let up, but has continued over generations since the 1960s, with mass incarceration and continuing murder of black people by police. Once more, there is this terrible reality. Since 1960, the number of black people killed by police is greater than the thousands who were lynched during the whole time of open segregation and Ku Klux Klan terror after the Civil War. Along with all this, there has been a continuing all-out assault on the very idea of revolution, especially communist revolution, and the constant promotion and glorification of the oppressive relations and the perverted culture and values of the capitalist imperialist system, a system based on literally life-stealing exploitation of masses of people in every part of the world, including more than 150 million children. All this is the background for a marked change in the culture that for some time has dominated or has had initiative among black people. This is not the culture of the 1960s among black people, with its very significant and overwhelmingly positive influence in the larger society and in the world as a whole, a culture which, as part of its overall very positive character, involved a definite optimism about changing things in a big way, including in opposition to racist oppression, and had a definite element of generosity of spirit. A culture in which religion had a diminished role, with many, especially youth, turning away from it and turning instead to radically transforming the actual conditions and relations of oppression. The spontaneous and actively promoted culture that today has powerful sway among the masses of Black people is, to a large degree, one that reflects disbelief in and despair about the possibility of a better world in this real world, with the conclusion that all you can do is go for self and strive to get a better thing for yourself and those close around you, even at the expense of others, including others just like you, and with the heavy influence of religious notions that ultimately everything is in God's hands, and all the desperation and degradation is somehow part of God's plan. In the article State of Emergency, Chains on People Who Desperately Need to Be Free, available at revcom.us, I spoke bluntly to this situation. Today, so many are caught up in the 3MNP. What is the 3MNP? Me, me, me. Money, money, money. Misogyny and patriarchy. Hatred of women, treating them as inferior to men and objects to be dominated by men. All ways of thinking and acting that reflect and reinforce this system of capitalism imperialism that so viciously oppresses people here and all over the world. All constantly promoted and pumped out in the popular culture, including in hip-hop. How this came to dominate hip-hop and how it has actually perverted this creative art form, which could be and should be a powerful voice for liberation, that is another story, which has everything to do with how things are ultimately controlled by the ruling powers that dominate overall in this sick system of capitalism imperialism. These are real chains on people, especially those most terribly, murderously oppressed under this system. The result of all this is that masses of people are demoralized and disoriented, robbed of real hope, chasing after deadly illusions, desperately clinging to things that are not real, indulging in trivial pursuits while stubbornly refusing to face the biggest reality, striving to turn degradation into capital, bitterly divided and beefing over bullshit, trying to make a mark by mocking and even murdering each other. Striving to turn degradation into capital in the form of self-degradation, with some Black people even willing to play to and profit off the marketing of crude racist stereotypes of Black people, of Black men as dangerous predators, and Black women as easy, even willing objects of sexual plunder. Everything crudely reduced to commodities to be exchanged. Every relationship nakedly transactional. That is an expression of the overall degrading relations and perverse culture of this putrid system of capitalism imperialism. This is part of the attraction of Donald Trump for some Black people, despite his open and aggressive racism, because he poses as the master of the deal, and at the same time, somehow a victim of the system, when in fact he has led a pampered existence from the very beginning, and his opposition to certain structures of power is only for the purpose of advancing his personal interests, and in a larger sense, it is in the service of an even more extreme fascist version of the murderously oppressive and cruelly exploiting system of which he is a grotesque expression. All this is what this system is doing to black people. And all this is not something that should in any way be upheld, tailed after, and catered to, let alone glorified. It is something that needs to be vigorously struggled against and radically transformed as one key part of transforming the larger world. And in particular, bringing alive once again and giving the most powerful expression to the potential of black people as a force for a truly emancipating revolution. I will end with this for now. Among some black youth in particular today, in the conditions this system has forcibly imposed on them, robbing them of a decent life and treating them as dangerous animals, denying their basic humanity, there is a certain defiant pride in being monsters. The really great challenge, the most meaningful way to go up against all this, and the means to finally put an end to all this madness, is to become emancipators, part of the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity, the serious, organized force actively working to bring about and preparing to lead a revolution to do away with this whole dehumanizing system, to make a profound leap forward for the emancipation not only of black people, but of all the oppressed, brutalized, and exploited people everywhere, of humanity as a whole. Next, revolution and the new communism, not degrading allegiance to this system, is the means to end the long nightmare for black people and humanity as a whole.
And that brings us to the end of another show here at the Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank Andy Z and everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less Show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out the RevComs on YouTube at youtube.com/TheRevComs and follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And remember, the problem is not human nature, it is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'll talk to you again next week.
And brothers, cause if you do, you can hear their voices still calling across the years, and they're all crying across the ocean, and they're crying across the land, and they will till we all come to understand. None of us are free, none of us are free. One of us are chained, none of us are free. darkness, and they just can't see the light. If you don't say it's wrong, then that says it's right. We got to try to feel for each other, let our brothers know that we care. Got to get the message, send it out loud and clear. None of us are free. None of us are free. None of us are free. One of us are chained. None of us are free. It's a single truth we all need, just to hear and to see. None of us are free. Isn't too hard to find. None of us can find it on our own. We got to join together in spirit, heart, and mind, so that every soul who's suffering will know that we're not alone. Oh, none of us are free. Getting smaller each passing day.
Passing day.
Now it's time to start making changes, and it's time for us all to realize that the truth is shining bright right before our eyes.
Before our eyes.
None of us are free. None of us are free.